tossed in the water.
The following program is listener supported through Consider His Word Ministries.
Consider His Word. Consider His Word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. What a joy it is to have you with us today. We're continuing our study in Hebrews chapter 6. If you have access to a Bible, we'd love for you to go find it, pick it up, and join us as we consider His Word today. I want to remind you quickly about our little prayer journals. We send out many of these, and we've been sending out quite a few over the summer. We'd love to get one into your hands as well. These prayer journals are just simply a little notebook that fits into your purse or Bible case or easily into a man's shirt pocket. I carry mine with me to church, and when people say, pray for me, I'm able to pull it out and write that name down. And then I can remember to pray for them every day, and I love being able to mark off when I hear where God has answered prayer. So that's why we call it a prayer journal. The prayer journals are absolutely free. They don't cost you anything except whatever means it takes you to contact us. Three ways you can get the journal. First of all is through the website at considerhisword.org, considerhisword.org. By the way, you can hear the first message in this series if you also go to the website and click on radio programs. Secondly, you can just simply contact us by email at considerhiswordradio@gmail.com, considerhisword.radio@gmail.com. Thirdly, you can just simply write to us here at Consider His Word. The address is Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. I'll give that to you again. Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. And I'd like to mention two things very quickly. When you write to us, please send us an address where you're hearing the program today. Give us a call letters of the radio station listening to today. Or if you're hearing from the website, you could tell us that as well. But we need an address. We have received several requests for prayer journals, and we have no address, so we don't know where to send them. So please send us an address and where you're hearing the program today. Secondly, we're going to be out of the office for a couple of weeks, and so just be patient with us. Usually when we receive the request, we get the prayer journals out immediately, but we're going to be out of the office for a couple of weeks, so just be patient. We'll get them to you as quickly as we can. Well, let's get to the scripture. Hebrews chapter 6. We've been talking about hope. We looked at a couple of things. Now, in this passage of Scripture in Hebrews 6, he mentions hope several times and gives us an example of hope. We looked at that a little bit last week. And again, you can go and hear those programs. Any of our programs you can hear at the website at considerhisword.org. And I want to take the time to read this whole passage of Scripture again. I realize it's kind of long and probably longer than I usually like to read. But I'd like to read this whole passage of Scripture so we can kind of put it all together and you get the big picture. So I'm reading in Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 9. He said, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of faith." Let me read that right. We desired that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Full assurance of hope. And that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto heirs the promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation or comfort who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endureth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Did you notice through that passage of Scripture how many times he spoke about hope? He first of all spoke about the assurance of hope, a hope assured, a hope that we have in Christ through their work and through the ministry, a hope that is assured even to the end. In verse 18, he spoke of the hope that is set before us, a hope that is set there by God. We read back in Psalm where David spoke about hope. In Psalm 42:5, he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He said to hope thou in God. God has set a hope before us. God who cannot lie. God who comforts us. And then he gave us the example of the hope that he had given to Abraham when he promised him a home. He promised him, we call it the promised land. And Abraham obeyed God and went, and God gave him that land. And eventually the people of Israel came to what we call the promised land. Well, what I want you to notice today, there's two things. One is in verse 19. In fact, I think both of them are in verse 19. In verse 19, he said it was a hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I want you to notice that this is a hope that is sure and steadfast. He called it, first of all, an anchor to the soul. You see, this is what we're missing, is having that anchor to the soul. We need people who are anchored down, that have their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, that have a hope in God. He said it's an anchor to the soul, an anchor that is sure. I'll tell you, you know, if an anchor is not sure, it is worthless. An anchor has got to hold on to something securely. Hold on to something. Now, you know, we think of an anchor of a boat, whether it's a big boat or a little boat. I know a few years ago I went on a cruise and I could hardly imagine the size of the anchors on some of those boats. I don't know that they use them because they always seem to tie up to the shore. My, they were big, because they had to be big enough to hold that boat secure. A number of years ago, I bought a little aluminum boat. It was a 12-foot aluminum V-hull John boat, and I would take it out fishing. And when I bought the boat, it had an anchor in it. Now, I don't know what the name of it, this anchor was, but it was an anchor that had kind of a round bottom on it, and I hardly ever used it. It was tied up to the boat, and it was there. And I thought, if I ever need it, you know, I'll have it. So I kept it in the boat. I was out fishing one day and out here in the canals here in the Everglades where we fish. I can just about take you to the place where we were. And a wind had come up and was blowing us faster than we wanted to go. You know, we were fishing down the bank. We were bass fishing, so we're using a trolling motor and going down the bank, but the wind was pushing us faster than we wanted to go. And I told my buddy, I said, let's throw this anchor out here and we'll just sit here still for a minute and fish this area. So I threw that anchor out into the water. I heard it, or I felt, I should say, when it hit the bottom. The problem was that we kept moving. That anchor was not sure. That anchor was not holding on to anything. And we just kept moving down the canal. It was crazy. That anchor was worthless. It had nothing sure to hang on to. We have a hope. He said that's an anchor to the soul, an anchor that is steadfast and sure. By the word steadfast, he means that it will not move. That anchor to the soul is not a material anchor, it's a spiritual anchor. And our anchor is grounded in the Word of God and in the hope that we have in God Himself. Now, at the end of this verse, these last two verses of this passage which we read, I'm going to read verse 19 again, but I want you to notice, he said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see, our hope is secure in Jesus. He secured it for us when he entered the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died on the cross, the scripture says that the veil in the temple was rent in two. Do you know how significant that is? You see, because until Jesus died on the cross, the high priest only would enter into that veil once a year to make atonement for the people. In fact, he entered that veil under the threat of death. If he was not pure himself, if he was not holy himself, he would die in there. They would take two lambs. They would slain one of those, and they would take the blood of that lamb. It had to be perfect in every way. They would kill that lamb, put its blood on the altar for an atonement for the sin of the people. The other lamb they would take and they would put their hands on it and confess all the sins of the people, all the sins of the nation. And they would take that lamb out into the wilderness and let it go. It was called the scapegoat. All of our sin was laid upon him. And you see, when Jesus died on the cross, he became our atoning sacrifice for sin. He is the Lamb of God who died on the cross. And when he entered into that temple, there he died for us, atoning for our sin, paying for our sin. Mark 38 says that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. It was the most holy place and was a picture of Jesus entering in for us. And so we have this security of the hope through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Hebrews 9:12, nevertheless, but by the blood of goats and calves, he entered his own blood once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. God bless you.
Consider his word. Consider his word. Consider his word.
Thanks for listening today. Like us on Facebook and visit our website at considerhisword.org. This is Pastor Arlen Payne saying, till next time, God bless you as you consider his word.
Things I wanted wanted to show you. Sing sweet lullabies.